Well, happy Thursday. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Tom Flanagan, and it is such a delight to have you at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the various methods of communication that we have at our disposal nowadays. You can give us a call anytime during the next hour at 414-1234. That's our local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance from you to us, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email address. And if Twitter is your preferred form of communication, we are at WFSU Perspective. As we said at the outset, happy October. Indeed, there is much to be happy about as we begin Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You might think, well, gee, what's that? Sounds like a disconnect. That's a horrible negative thing, right? Well, for one thing, as we kick off this month, if you look around, Florida's capital city has this distinctly rosy tinge right now, thanks to a community-wide campaign that encourages businesses and other organizations to kind of think pink for the duration of the month. And part of that involves pink lemonade stands that are set up all over town. Proceeds will benefit the fight against breast cancer, of course. There's the October 18th Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk. More on that to come. Also in the cards is the Cards for a Cure event this Saturday, sponsored by Tallahassee Memorial, and that's in honor of breast cancer survivor Mrs. Therese Combs. And this morning on Perspectives, we will be talking about all of this and much, much more with our panel. So let's say hi to them right now. We'll start it off with, as long as we're talking survivors, we have one, Daniel Grunen, who is an FSU doctorate student in meteorology and is intent on becoming a climate change expert. And Daniel, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Okay, right next door, we have Dr. Paresh Patel, medical oncologist at Florida Cancer Specialists and Research Institute. I guess we should say institutes here. You guys got two locations, right, doctor?
Right. Okay. That is correct. Hi. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Daniel.
You are on Riggins Road and also out on
I'm on Care Drive and a Phillip Road.
And Phillips Road. I'm sorry. There we go. Speaking of doctors, Dr. Lynn Panton joins us, professor and graduate student coordinator in things like nutrition and food and exercise sciences in FSU's College of Human Sciences, and is being put out there as kind of a subject matter expert all this month, right?
Thanks.
Going to keep you busy.
I hope so.
And Amy Harris joins us from the American Cancer Society. Do we call it the Tallahassee office or chapter, or what do we call that, Amy?
Sure. There's a local office here.
No, okay. And you are essentially that office then, right?
Right. I'm on the volunteer leadership board, so I am a volunteer with them, and I'll be discussing the patient services programs.
Okay. Well, that brings us full circle back to a patient. Daniel, tell us your story. I mean, 30 years old, rocking and rolling along, and suddenly, boom, your life changes, right?
Mm-hmm. I found the lump myself. 6 months prior to diagnosis, went into my doctor, my gynecologist, and got the lump checked out, had an ultrasound. They said it was probably benign and that I should come back 6 months later. So 6 months later, last September, I went in for an ultrasound and the lump had grown and it was looked suspicious. So they did a biopsy and then they told me it was cancerous. Around the same time, I also found out that I was BRCA1 positive. So cancer runs in my family. You know, not only do I need to worry about the fact that I got breast cancer, I also need to worry about my ovaries and possibly getting ovarian cancer one day.
Wow, double whammy. Mm-hmm. That had to be, you know, a really, really rotten day for sure.
It was. Yeah, it was October 6th last year. I found out.
Mm-hmm. But you are now coming up on 1 year. Mm-hmm. So what's the prognosis? How are we doing?
Doing really well. Dr. Patel has taken excellent care of me. I'm just finishing up 1 year of Herceptin, so chemo has continued for a full year. So everything's looking good, feeling healthy, recovering. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Patel, that it brings us to the, I guess that Danielle kind of falls outside of that preconception that so many folks have that this is a disease for, you know, older women, and men get it too.
That is correct.
For sure. But there seems to be – is there a rising incidence of younger folks coming down with breast cancer now?
Most of the breast cancer occurs in the middle-aged women rather than younger. Daniel is kind of exceptions to it. But it is occurring more and more in younger women who have – now we know to have a genetic mutations like BRCA1 or BRCA2. So those are the genetic mutations either you inherited from your parents or acquired during their lifetime. Those are the patients who develop a breast cancer at very early age, like Daniel has developed. And most of the guideline doesn't recommend getting a breast cancer screening mammogram until age 40 or 45. But those are the patients make sure keeps us awake at night all the time, trying to worry about it, who's going to develop, who's not going to develop. So when we come across a patient like Daniel's, we recommend the entire family needs to be screened, and those are the patients needs to be checked thoroughly at younger age, sometimes at age, early as age 20, 25, and starting to have mammograms, MRI alternatively. When they finish families planning, then they a lot of time we recommend getting prophylactic surgeries to prevent the cancer coming in those patients.
Okay, and that brings us to the question of just why do we seem to have so, at least we perceive that there is a greater incidence today than maybe there was in our parents' or grandparents' time. Dr. Panton, I mean, what do the stats say on this? Is there more folks coming down with it, or is it still sort of the way it's always been?
Well, I think we're doing a great job of publicizing it. I mean, talk shows like this and the media that comes and it allows people to come in and speak about it. So we're hearing a lot more about it. I'm not sure on the statistic rates, whether it's increasing, but we know that our lifestyle, being physically inactive, not eating nutritious food, gaining weight, and our obesity rates are increasing. So the different types of cancers that increase with the increases in our rate of being obese and overweight will increase.
And so there is a connection there. Then,
and there is a connection there. And I'm not sure that incidence has increased that dramatically, but we are recognizing earlier stages of the breast cancer. So now we know that women like Danielle's, if she did not pay attention to her breast lumps, we may have a diagnosis at a little later stage, maybe stage 4 at in a 6 or 8 months later we came across. And now we know that this is happening versus we are diagnosing early stage, we are curing it. So the patients with the breast cancer are living longer and longer, and now we have a more prevalence of breast cancer as compared to what used to be. The treatments are getting smarter, better. So women, we cure it much more. Women who have metastatic breast cancer are living longer lifespans. So that is what it made a big difference into it. And now we are having more and more people aware of it, just like with, Dr. Patton says about it. Current programs like this one or Cards for Cure. So those are the making it more publicized, and all the women and family members are participating in making sure that things are. I will tell you, but my sister-in-law has had diagnosis of breast cancer about it, just like this talk show. She was listening, and she says, oh, I should do a self-exam. And she came across a breast cancer 4 months, 4 years ago. It was early stage, stage 1B. She got it treated. She's doing cancer-free 4+ years. And if she did not pick it up at that time, she was 34 at that time, so that wouldn't be not caught early.
Sure, and more reason to, celebrate.
Celebrate
here.
Exactly. So, but I know the guidelines does tell you about age 40 mammograms and stuff like that, but you have to take it in the context of your own personal family histories. Your exams doesn't require a guideline to follow. Your self awareness is one of the best things you can do with it. The programs like this or Cards for Cure, making strides. That's what basically making everyone aware of it. This is existing. You need to not close your eyes, open your eyes, look for it. And if there is something going on, put your attention to it, put your doctor's attention to it, that we can take care of it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what the American Cancer Society offers as far as, I guess, a holistic approach here, Amy, because you have not only awareness and education in advance, but also for patients and also as a follow-up during recovery, right?
Right. So let's take an example of the Reach to Recovery program. So that's a program specifically for breast cancer and geared towards breast cancer. People who are experiencing either at the time of diagnosis or they're currently dealing with it, et cetera. That was a program started over 40 years ago when cancer was not so openly discussed, but women realized that they needed an opportunity to have some form of community. And it's still a very strong program of, you know, one of the members it's survivors who reach out and connect with people who are currently going through a similar situation. So, you know, they say that it's unfortunate what brings them together, but it is such a strong bond that allows them to have that community, that emotional support, that opportunity to ask questions and voice their concerns and understand that they're not alone in what they're going through. And they also have – we also have other programs such as Look Good, Feel Better that, you know, for women who are need some assistance with the physical changes that happens to them during treatment, obviously hair loss, things like that. It's an opportunity for trained volunteer beauty professionals to show these women how to take care of themselves, give them a lot of free makeup, tips for skincare with wigs and scarves, et cetera, how to allow them to continue to feel good about themselves while they're going through this challenging time in their lives.
Yeah, because it is such a defining part of one's identity and all that. And when my daughter was going through it, she was highly fortunate in that she was and still is employed by a company in South Florida that makes wigs. And so she said, "This is so awesome. I get to have a different look every day of the week in a different color." And I mean, she made a big fun deal of it, which is which Danielle, I imagine you have to take that kind of positive. Hey, look, I'm going to power through this and whatever I can do to make things better. That's where I got to go.
Exactly. You have to think positively, have the support of your friends and family. And some days you feel like wearing that wig and pretending you're normal and don't have to deal with cancer. And sometimes you just wear that scarf proudly and hat. So,
well, good on you. If you have anything that you'd like to add to the conversation as far as our discussion on breast cancer and October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month here on Perspectives This Morning, you are always invited to be part of the action at 414-1234. Our local number, it's 800-926-8809. If long distance from you to us and Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address if you want to communicate with us that way. We have Danielle Grunin, Dr. Paresh Patel, Dr. Lynn Panton, and Amy Harris here with us on Perspectives, and your phone calls and emails when we continue. Perspectives Breast Cancer Awareness Month is in full progress, and we have a great panel here to join us to talk about not only what's going on, and Danielle Grunin, why don't you, we got the big thing coming up here, Cards for Cure, here on Saturday, the walk, the Making Strides walk coming up on the 18th, right?
Yes, that starts at 3 o'clock at Cascades Park. It's an awesome event. I went last year. I had actually just been diagnosed and went to the event. And I think games activities start at 1 o'clock, and the actual 5K starts at 3 o'clock. And they'll have vendors, entertainment, everything. A great event. There's been a lot of fundraising that's been going on for that event. So I know on Tuesday, October 6th, they have a food truck rally, Let's Celebrate Pink. That is another fundraiser for the Making Strides. That's from 5:30 to 8 p.m. outside the TMH Cancer Center.
Okay. I really props to the folks who do the Making Strides things, because most of these start like 7:30 or 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and that just too freaking painful to get out and do that. So thank you for doing it in the afternoon there, guys. Let's go to the phones. Anna is on line one, patiently waiting. Hi, Anna.
Hi. I wanted to ask Dr. Patel about any research studies or trials. As somebody with a lot of friends that have gone through breast cancer, where is the research going and how do you participate with that?
So, and there are a couple phases of clinical trials. Usually starts with phase 1 to 4. Phase 1, it's initial studies when the drugs or compounds get some effectiveness into the labs, then they start moving into the real patients. And phase 1 is usually toxicity trial. That's how we, the doctors and researchers, put it. But what we are looking at is trying to find the correct dose on a patient, making sure that we are not making them more sick with the side effect-wise. At the same time, looking at the effect on the cancer, making sure it's working. Once it gets a success through the phase 1, it's usually we have 10, 15, 20 patients, but nowadays modified phase 1 includes couple of hundred patients sometimes. Then it goes to phase 2. Where you are just doing a single-arm studies where you're trying to see if it's working and in a breast cancer certain stages or other cancer certain stages, trying to see if they can effective controlling disease or prolonging survival. And then they go to phase 3 where they are put it against available cancer medications and put it head-to-head against other proven therapies and trying to see their successes. So those are the phase 1, 2, and 3. And a lot of patients have a belief that when you go in a clinical trials, you become guinea pig. It's not the truth. Truth of a clinical trial is when you start enrolling your patients on it, we want to make sure there is available of options are there. If there is available options in the first line, that is what we do. And the trials have become a second line. But then you run out of option. That is a time to choose a clinical trials on it, or that is a upcoming medication that is has a great success in a phase 1, and they were trying to get an upfront setting. That would be the medications to get in approval in a front setting. So we never tried on something. You take a sugar pill versus a clinical trial medications like olden days or God knows when it was. Anymore. We do really ethical trials, making sure that we are doing it, trying to help patients prolong life or cure it rather than just putting the patients on a trial. Once that gets a phase 3 or a phase 2, sometimes FDA gives the drug company a green signal to go ahead and use it on real patients in a short time frames or limited prospectivity. And then they go on approval on a fast track versus slow track, then finally drugs get approved. At our institutions at Florida Cancer Specialists, we have several clinical trials that we've been using it, trying to help women with breast cancer and other cancer to make it cure or prolong their lives. And we have come up with several medications that has got FDA approval on it in the past 3-4 years. We have all FDA-approved medications. We can use it here locally. So not any patients has to travel for anywhere else to get drugs, medications to take chemotherapies or anything like that. Because I know when you have dealing with cancer, traveling, it's another burden. You have to take it on your shoulder, and you don't have to. We have all FDA-approved medications, including clinical trials, that you can choose an options for it. So that is what's best we need in Tallahassee, and that is whatever we are looking forward.
Okay, well, Doctor, as a follow-up to what Anna was asking about, are today's generation of chemotherapy substances, are they less – is invasive toxic. Even the word here – less toxic than their predecessors, which
– I'll answer that in a different way, Tom. The one is, if I remember my attendings and my program director telling me that in the 80s, when the patients walked into the floor of oncology floor, they started vomiting before even they touched the chemotherapy, because they had in a mind that that is what's going to happen soon after the treatment. So even before they walked in, they started having nausea and vomiting. Now the chemotherapy has got smarter, better targeted. On top of that, we know how to treat the nausea, vomiting, or other side effect related to chemotherapy. So we are better prepared at this point rather than patients to go through any symptoms. We barely have any patients who have nausea, vomiting related to chemotherapy because we have much more medications to prepare for it. And as also to answer the second part of questions, the chemotherapy has become smarter and targeted with less side effects and less toxicity to the generalized body. But still, there is always a side effect of any medications as you know it. And that is where our exercise and living, feeling good, living better, those things comes into play around it.
Okay, and that is a big part of it too, Dr. Pant, is to not just have the therapies, but also there are other things to help in the recovery, right?
That's right. And exercise and nutrition is very important. We've completed two exercise studies with breast cancer survivors, so they were all completed with their treatment. And what we find with the chemotherapy, we kind of or their treatment, is that these individuals get what we call accelerated aging. So we're seeing that they're losing their bone density, they have lower muscle mass and greater fat mass than age match controls. So the resistance training, which we do, really targets especially that musculoskeletal area. So we're finding that we're able to maintain their muscle mass and bone density and in some cases even increase it. In the last study that we just completed, we found great increases in muscle mass and decreases in fat mass in our women who participated in the program. So they had great benefits, and it was just amazing to watch them improve as they went through the exercise program.
Daniel, what your recovery program, what's that been like?
I've been struggling a little bit with weight. I've gained about 15 pounds and just found it hard to get my energy back to what it was. I haven't exercised as hard as I used to. So it's been a work in progress, I'd say. But mm-hmm. I could definitely use some assistance. So
we'll have to get you in one of our studies.
Okay, sounds good.
I see a connection going right here. You guys help out with that too, though, don't you, Amy? You've got some programs that can help in that regard.
We actually do have a program called Road to Recovery to help patients get to and from treatment. So if there's a patient who doesn't have transportation available or somebody to drive them even, you know, obviously you can't – it's challenging to drive after treatment. So this is a volunteer-based program. We are a team of drivers – who volunteer the use of our vehicles and our time to make sure these patients have access to treatment. And we cover a large area. It's not just the local Tallahassee area. We do the surrounding counties. And it's a great volunteer opportunity because it is a lot of our drivers are survivors themselves, or they've been affected by cancer in their lives, or they're just compassionate and have the availability to do it. And for anybody out there who is looking for a volunteer opportunity, it's great because – with this program, there's not a lot of time commitment in the fact that you get to dictate when you do come in and volunteer to drive. We have a lot of retirees. We have people like me who work from home. I just bring my laptop along and keep working. So and we also have the challenge of getting patients in the rural communities into town for their treatment, because obviously you could have, if there's a patient in Crawfordville who needs to get to and from treatment, it's 25 miles down there, 25 miles back to town to treatment, 25 miles to take the patient home, and then 25 miles back here. I could do 100 miles in a day for a patient to get a 15-minute injection. But the difference is that 15-minute injection is life-saving. And so that's what makes it all worthwhile, and that's where we're looking. If anybody has any interest in this program, they can go to cancer.org and look on the website, or you can call 1-800-227-2345 for more information.
All right. That you bring up a good point, too, that I think, Dr. Patel, this had been a misperception on the part of a lot of folks for many, many years, even though Tallahassee now about 20% of its entire economy is tied to medical service provision. And institutes like yours and the Cancer Center at TMH and Capital Regional now has a big cancer center as well. The thought has still persisted that, oh, I have to go to Shands. I got to go to Mayo in Jacksonville. I got to go to Cleveland Clinic in Broward County. I got to go to Moffitt and Tampa. I got to go anywhere but Tallahassee because we don't have the doctors and the technology that can cure cancer. That isn't true anymore, though, is it?
Absolutely right, Tom. It's not true at all. We have all the available modalities of fighting cancer right here in Tallahassee. We can get you FDA-approved any treatments you like within minutes to hours or days, depending on your insurance, to get it approval on it. but we have everything available right here in Tallahassee. There is no reason to travel. Now, there are patients still want to get another opinions on it. I absolutely agree with that part. If you want another opinions on it, just talk to your cancer doctor. I always tell the patients that if you want opinions from Dr. So-and-so, let me know, because I know them more than you know the doctors. Because I have their cell numbers. I have their emails. I can get in touch with you, touch with them, get your appointment where you want to go see them, rather than you trying to get the second opinion by yourself, and you may end up with a not that experienced doctors or in that field particularly, and you may end up having another doctors that you rather like. Because I know cancer. This is what I do for a living. This is exactly what I know my communities in oncology. I can get you help, whatever you needed, to get another opinions on it. But to get a treatment, it's your choice to go somewhere else, but you don't have to. All treatments are available, including trials, including clinical trials that are not approved by FDA yet, but they are legitimate clinical trials ongoing. We have it. We have it all. There is no reason to travel anywhere outside Tallahassee to get a cancer care.
And I'm sure, Danielle, it was less stressful having local treatment than, oh my gosh, now I got to go 450 miles to get my treatment.
Yes, definitely. I wanted to keep a semblance of normalcy. I wanted to continue with classes and research as much as I could. So I did everything in Tallahassee, chemo, my double mastectomy, and radiation all in Tallahassee. Felt 100% that I was getting the best care.
Let's go back to the phones. Bill awaits on line one. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. I dated a woman and took her through breast cancer, driving her to Moffitt a bunch of times. And before the Affordable Care Act, if a woman had the BRCA test and it was positive, she had a pre-existing condition and was uninsurable. So this woman paid for it herself and hid it from the insurance company. And Myriad, which owns a patent on the, or owned the patent not only on the process to test for it, owned the gene. They claimed they owned it in every woman so that no one else could do research on it. I think the Supreme Court struck that down. But it was a pretty sleazy and money-grubbing thing to do for a research company.
Yeah, not to mention, as you said, what happened with insurance, where anyone who underwent this was immediately branded with the dreaded pre-existing condition and then became uninsurable. At least that's gone. I think that there's a lot of also...
It's gone right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are a lot of also, I think, bad information out there about what causes cancer and what can cure cancer or prevent you from getting it in the first place. Let's ask the panel, what are some of the things that are out there right now that people might be taken in by?
Let me answer the questions about the BRCA mutations. I absolutely agree with it. It was patent owned by Marriott, and they were charging arm and leg to get the testing done. And Supreme Court did struck down that law, so that is great deal. The prices has came down, but still not in hundreds. They're still in thousands. I was amazed that the media are able to hold the patent for that long. That is a gene. Everyone has it. We're trying to find the mutations to it. Now, when the gene gets diagnosed with a BRCA positive in a woman's, that is considered as pre-existing conditions because you have acquired this gene either from your parents' families or inherited or acquired in your lifetime. So it is considered pre-existing. I'm glad that the healthcare has struck down about pre-existing conditions anymore, so you don't have to worry about it. So now you can get treated without big issues, but I feel sorry about it that she has to pay out of pocket all those expensive treatments because those treatments don't come cheap at all. Even though all the chemotherapy advances and all this thing is done, the treatment for breast cancer is not cheap in the terms of dollar amount. If you have to pay out of pocket, I'm not sure anyone can afford it unless you have $1 million in account. It's a different story. So that is to answer your questions. I'm glad that the patent has lost by Marriott, and there are other companies are competing with each other, trying to lower the prices down. So that is good for our healthcare. That's good for our economy and good for all the patients. Now we can test more people about it. There has been a theory about it that if you have a one woman's with a breast cancer below age 50, Or if there is a multiple family members with breast cancer, then needs to be get tested. And that is where we are lacking. There are so many women out there still not diagnosed with BRCA despite their family history and family risk factor for it. So that is where we need to make more awareness, like Danielle's. Danielle's, when she came to me, she told me first thing that her family has BRCA mutations because that is the month she came to know about. Her mom had to go through the same things what she had to go through. And as soon as we saw her first time, we ordered the test. It came back positive on it. We moved on to next step. We told her to make decision on double mastectomy, and she went through it. It is very hard for a young woman like her to go through it because it's not an easy choice to make where you have to go through double mastectomy. If she did not have this mutation, she would be able to get a small lumpectomy on one breast, get radiations, and get it treated and preserve her both breasts. But it's not worth for her because of 75-80% chance of cancer coming back in the same or other breast. That is not worth taking a risk.
Yeah, those odds are not good. And yet, conversely, not everyone who comes down with breast cancer means that that is a sentence for the rest of the family. My wife had breast cancer. My daughter had breast cancer, but the BRCA test came back negative, mm-hmm. and so they were just luck of the draw.
That is good.
So that also mitigated then the need to be more aggressive with treatment of my daughter, which was a good thing.
That is absolutely mm-hmm. correct. And also be vigilant about it, making sure you continue surveillance and follow-up, because majority of the inherited cancers are BRCA related, but there are other genes that we have not come to know about it, or there are genes work we are working up in the process of research that it's going to take time.
And luckily, no company owns those genes, at least not anymore. 414-1234, our number for Perspectives. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We got a great panel here to answer any questions, concerns that you might have, or share your story. 800-926-8809 is our long-distance number, and perspectives@wfsu.org is the email address. We shall be right back. Welcome back to Perspective. So glad that you could be with us here. We have Daniel Grunin, Dr. Paresh Patel, Dr. Lynn Patton, and Amy Harris here with us, our panel, talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is October, just in case you haven't checked your calendar. And a reminder that you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that address, WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and click Perspectives, because we archive past shows. We try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs. So I'm thinking, guys, probably by 2 or 3 this afternoon we'll have this one up and we can go back and listen to ourselves in perpetuity.
Great.
It's a wonderful thing. Let's see what Laurie has to say. She is on line one. Hi, Laurie. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you for letting me speak. I represent the Tallahassee Chrome Divas. We are a women's only motorcycle organization. And this is our 14th annual Breast Cancer Poker Run coming up Sunday, October 11th. We raise money for a woman's place at TMH Foundation, and our money pays for things like copays, prosthetics, everything after the fact can help with money for treatment, and we just wanted to get that shout out. It's October 11th, starts at Tallahassee Harley-Davidson at 9 o'clock a.m., and it ends up in Crawfordville at the Skybox Lounge. So,
they are always tons of fun. How many Chrome Divas you got in the lineup now, Laurie?
Well, I don't know, somewhere 20 or 30, but we seem to do quite a good job of fundraising. It's a very worthy cause, and the Tallahassee motorcycle community as well as surrounding areas come out to help support it.
You guys are great, Laurie. Thank you so much for giving us a ring on that, and hope it is just an incredibly wonderful and productive poker run for y'all, and that the weather holds, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, Laurie. That's the great thing, too, about this town, whether it's the Tallahassee Democrat and their whole Think Pink thing that they've been doing now for the past almost 5 years, and we got the pink lemonade stands and all of that that's going on. And if you're just joining us, we have a couple of other events to talk about here, which is, of course, the Cards for a Cure. That's this Saturday, sponsored by Tallahassee Memorial. You can find out more about that on their website. And then the walk, again, that's coming up, Danielle, if you want to, for the benefit of those folks just joining us here, talk a little bit about the walk on the 18th.
Okay. On Sunday, the 18th, it's Making Strides Against Breast Cancer for Leon County. It's a 5K walk. It starts at 3 o'clock at Cascades Park, but that's the official walk. The events start at 1 o'clock, and it's just going to be a great event. A lot of survivor stories, a lot of support, a lot of different pink teams. It should be a lot of fun.
A couple things here that also came in the prevention and early detection arena from our friend Mark Mahoney, who is a Tallahassee blogger and also is affiliated with the returned Peace Corps volunteers. If you see those guys out along high roads sometimes on Saturday morning picking up trash and that kind of thing. Mark posted this here in the Democrats, some reproductive risk factors: being younger when you had your first menstrual period, never giving birth, or being older at the birth of your first child, starting menopause at a later age, and using hormone replacement therapy for a long time. That those are some possible risk factors there, Doc.
That is completely correct. That is absolutely right about those are the risk factors. There are other things affect also their breast cancer, including genetic markers like BRCA1, BRCA2. About also exposures to prior radiations, like if the patient has a younger age, has Hodgkin's lymphoma and the mediastinal radiation, those are the women that tend to get breast cancer in early age. So usually we recommend starting at 10 years after the radiations in the mediastinal areas or chest areas, they should be getting tested and watched for developing breast cancers over a period of time.
Okay. And Dr. Panton, you got some lifestyle things there, too, that can be possible breast cancer facilitators, if we want to use that, right?
Yeah, we know that, being overweight and obese will increase the risk, being physically inactive, smoking, not getting those fruits and vegetables. So there's a lot of lifestyle adjustments that we can make to help at least reduce the risk.
Okay. But still a lot of things that are in the commercial and maybe not quite so clinically trial-proven area that people get sucked into, whether it's dietary fads or even products like – what was that one thing? The copper-clad bracelet or something that's supposed to, suck the toxins out of your bloodstream and make you less susceptible to cancer. I mean, you got all this other stuff that's out there too, right?
They are available. If you put a Google search about it that says breast cancer, they already know that you're looking for something on it. And then you start getting emails. It's amazing what happens. But those are not proven treatments at all. Those are only develops a financial toxicity to the patients or individual. They do not help those detoxifications. That's what my patients come back and tell. And I'm done with the treatments. I want to go through the detox programs. And I usually ask, what detox program you meant by? Oh, they told me about these things you have to dissolve in the water and then drink it and then sucks out all my chemotherapy toxins and all that. This is completely unproven, not studied medications, and they're just selling it for their personal gains of finances. That has not been proven anything. If there are women also complains about having hot flashes after treatments. They go get some medications. I always tell my patients, if you don't know what to take or not to take, bring it with you next visit. I'll take a look and I'll let you know. You shouldn't be taking this or you should be taking this. I'm okay with taking multivitamin. I'm okay taking those things. But if you have a powder that tells you that's going to make your cure, that has something wrong with that. That's suggestions is something fishy right there. A lot of women takes hot flush medications has estrogen in it, even though they say it's on the label that no estrogen. But they put soy protein, and soy is one of the highest estrogen-containing vegetables or plant products you can find it. So that's completely different purpose, because if you have hormone-positive breast cancer, you shouldn't be taking any hormone supplements, or hormone replacement therapy or creams or any type of hormone supplements. And if you're doing that, you're just defeating your purpose. You're defeating what treatments you're taking it, trying to block that hormone receptors.
Sure. And one of the other, I guess, early warning signs of a possible scam in progress is when you see something that along the lines of the secret that the modern medical industry doesn't want you to know.
Absolutely. Whenever I see that line, it's a red flag right there, because trust me, the pharmaceutical industries or National Institute of Health or National Cancer Institute, they all want to make everyone's life better. So if there is something out there, they have got it tested for it. Trust me on it. Nowadays, all the research is focused on a new molecular targeted treatments, because those in the past, we used to do just regular chemotherapies and cytotoxic, and we still in a breast cancer are in our first line curative intent treatments are cytotoxic. So basically, they kill healthy and cancer cells at the same time. But the newer targeted treatments are looking for specific cancer markers on the cancer cells, and we are developing antidote and taking it. So those are they're working on it. Those are the compound generated by the selective chemicals putting into it rather than naturally available. So that is where the research is. If naturally available compound kills a cancer, we already got it. We already have Taxols. That is what the natural plant product is. We have all those products already available. Trust me, our research are one of the best top in the world, and we got it all taken care of it. If there is something that they don't want to know it, because there is nothing available that they don't want you to know about it.
Well, speaking of research, Amy Harris, that there's always been a connection between the American Cancer Society and helping research as far as making available resources to kind of push that barrier forward. So that's a big part of it, too, not just the help and the resources for the patients and caregivers and all that, but you guys get that funding in the pipeline, too, right?
There's actually a specific branch called the Cancer Action Network, and they actively push for legislation and policy changes to help promote cancer research, cancer cures. They just had a very large event in Washington where all of the Cancer Action Network got together for the Lights of Hope. You know, they were around the reflecting pond at the National Mall. So that is a portion of the American Cancer Society. And if anybody's interested in getting involved, again, cancer.org is the main hub for any of this information.
Okay, but on the local level, though, when we raise money here, that's going to be more community resource oriented. Then
it can be, yes. And for the local community, also, there's a number of events and opportunities. And I do want to bring up in regards to MSABC, the Making Strides Walk today at the American Cancer Society's local office. From 4 to 6 p.m., they are also doing Pink Lemonade. So if anybody has any questions and wants to come out and get more information about that event or any other American Cancer Society programs, they can come out and get that information.
Yeah, but there is no lack of pink lemonade in this town today.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, I think what the city and county commissioners have battling booths that are set up like down at Cascades Park, and they're, you know, I don't know, trying to sabotage each other or something. That ought to be a lot of fun. We'll see who comes out on top of that. Danielle, because there is a high incidence, whether or not it's higher today than it's been in the past, but young women like yourself who suddenly get the bad news, what do you tell them?
It's tough to know what the right thing to say is. I think it's important to support one another. So I started a support group in Tallahassee called the Face-to-Face Young Survival Coalition, specifically for women under 40 who are dealing with breast cancer, because women under 40 have to deal with fertility issues and sexuality and a little bit different than the older population. I think just support and going to these events together. So once I started the group, I've met so many women who we've just been it's just been amazing to have people to go with to all these events, because you just kind of create this little community and you're there to support them, answer questions. Yeah, so it's just building a community of support, I'd say, and because it's really hard to know exactly the right thing to say. Just be there and to answer any questions they have, I'd say, is very important.
How do people find you? I mean, just in case anyone's hearing this thing, oh, my God, I got to get up with folks who, you know, are going through what I am going through.
Well, there are several groups. So there's my group that I started is through meetup.com. So if you search the Tallahassee Face-to-Face Young Survival Coalition. There's also the Joanna Francis Living Well Foundation. Their support group is amazing. They meet once a month, the first Monday of every month at Paisley Cafe at 6 o'clock. They always have guest speakers. They have just an amazing group of women. Actually, the Go Pink Lemonade is in
joint effort with
the Joanna Francis Living Well Foundation. So today at the Edison Restaurant from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., we'll be there supporting everyone. All the donations for the Pink Lemonade will go to Joanna Francis Living Well, which is a local group which supports women going through breast cancer treatments who may need some help financially.
Financial assistance. Joanna was one of my former patients, and she started this thing, amazing event. If you look at her pictures, look at her profiles, it's you can never tell that she has gone through the treatment for cancer. She's always traveling, always looking fantastic anytime she came in, no matter up days or down days. But she has done a remarkable, and those foundations raising money for local patients to help pay for their utility bills, payments, transportation, gas, whatever you name it, they got it. They got it. So that Joanna Francis has done a remarkable job.
And so when you buy that that glass of pink lemonade, you raise a toast to this lady here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is where I think all the Tallahassee Democrats started turning pink and those things started occurring.
Well, again, props to them and to all the folks who are doing so much here to help to not only raise awareness but also raise some money for what is a very worthy cause. Let's face it, guys. Every one of us knows someone, at least one. And this is an opportunity to let them know that we care and that we love them and that we support their efforts to just keep on keeping on. Just a few minutes to go in today's show. Any last thoughts, Amy Harris?
On a personal note, I have to say that from my volunteering and being involved in the community in this manner, you know, cancer affected my life peripherally. I had family members, but just I'm in my mid-30s, and I know that if I were – but my grandmother had breast cancer in 1963, had the medical mastectomy and survived. But I know that she's my maternal grandmother. There's a risk. I know that there's such a strength and a community and resources and knowledge and information that, I feel like if I were ever challenged with that – I could face it without fear. And that was something that I got, especially from volunteering with the American Cancer Society and meeting the other drivers and other survivors. It's been an incredible experience.
Powerful thought. Thank you. Dr. Lynn Pan.
I just think the opportunities available and the support in the communities are just incredible. And all the things that you all are doing and getting that message out there is so important. Just from nutrition and exercise standpoint is – and the fatigue and everything I know that you get when you go through the treatment and then after, but there's so many benefits for, just getting your feet moving, getting up out of the house and becoming active. And it may take a while, but the benefits are so important as far as the function and just being able to to do your activities of daily living and improving that quality of life.
Yeah, that power that you have to make it better, even though. Dr. Paresh Patel, your thoughts, sir.
Amy Harris and Lynn Patton, Daniel, all said the correct things. If you get diagnosed with cancer, I know it's a life, in your thoughts, things, life falls apart. But you have to put it together. You have to keep hopes going. You have to be positive on attitude. Find the doctors. Just follow the direction. We are here to help. We are here to make life better. There is always roads up and down, but we can fight it. We could beat this cancer down. Research is going on. We're getting it more and more positive on it. We have more survivors going on. We can take care of it no matter what it is.
Thank you, sir. We wind up where we began here with Danielle Gruden. Danielle.
I just want to say that, you know, it's important to do your research. It's important to have a great medical support team and personal support team. And for those people out there who have a family history of breast cancer, I want them to know that just be aware of things. You can get a gene mutation from your father's side and your mother's side. I know there's been a misconception that it's through the mother's side, but I actually got the BRCA1 gene mutation through my father's side. So just, you know, be aware, educate yourself. And I'm here. You can try and contact me, you know, find me at these events, and I'd be willing to talk and answer any questions that you have.
Guys, thanks so much. Happy October. I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us again next week for more Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.